speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
We plan to continue our study on the thought of suicide. We began our study Monday by noticing that this time of the year, when trees are budding, when the blossoms are blooming, the sweet smells linger in the air, that sadly it's also the time of year when people are most likely to take their lives. According to one study, April and May are the two most common months for suicide attempts, according to the Crisis Intervention Center. And this article goes on to say that it's because people who are suicidal look at the bright blue skies, the balmy days, and they wonder why the natural tonic isn't lifting them out of their haze and out of their the days they seem to be living in. And somewhere along the line, the decision is made just to call it quits. And of course, more and more people are calling it quits on life. And sadly, among young people, suicide is the second leading cause of death, ranking only behind automobile accidents. And then among our senior citizens, there's hopelessness, there's despair, perhaps because of sickness or the death of a mate, and people feeling there's just no reason to go on living. We pointed out that the word suicide comes from two Latin terms, sui, oneself, and cedere, to kill, and it's defined as the killing of oneself with malice aforethought, while in the possession of a sound mind. And sadly, in our society, in other societies, near and far, ancient and modern, suicide has been a way of life for people for years. And it's sad that it's a growing problem. It's estimated that more than 25 million people, or rather 25,000 people, commit suicide, and maybe as many as 25 million. But in both the Old Testament and New Testament, there are laws and principles that make suicide morally unacceptable. There are several cases of suicide mentioned in the Scriptures, and all of them viewed in an unfavorable light. For you see, self-destruction is a violation of a number of biblical truths. One, suicide asserts that man is autonomous. The Greek Stoic Seneca defended suicide as an aspect of man's lordship over himself. Yet the Bible teaches that it is the Lord who made us, and not we ourselves, Psalms 100, verse 3. All people belong to the Creator, Ezekiel 18, verse 4. And thus God has the right over them. Humanity is responsible to God, and humanity will answer to God. Another reason self-destruction is a violation of biblical truth is that the Scriptures make it abundantly clear that life is a gift from God. And it is the Lord who gives to all life and breath and all things, Acts 17, verse 25. So no person has the intrinsic right to take away that which was given by the eternal source of life. A third principle is that suicide is a violation of the divine law prohibiting murder. Murder is defined as the unauthorized shedding of human blood. And when that's done, it's assault upon the image of God, because man is made in the image of God. It's interesting that the Jewish rabbis felt that Genesis 9:6 specifically forbade suicide. Murder is condemned in Exodus 20, verse 13, thou shalt not kill. And certainly suicide is self-murder when it's performed by a rational person. Only the Lord knows how many people were rational at the time they took their lives. And then fourth, suicide is an act of selfishness. Human beings have been given the responsibility of serving God. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. Ecclesiastes 12, verse 13. And God being our Maker, He's worthy of our service, worthy of our worship. Man was created to glorify God, Isaiah 43, verse 7. So it's our duty to help others. And as our Lord went about doing good, Acts 10, verse 38, and as Peter says, we are to follow in His steps, then we need to go about doing good. He would have us act benevolently toward others. No man is to live to himself or to die to himself, Romans 14, verse 7. And a fifth principle is that suicide violates the principle of self-esteem that is so clearly enjoined in a multitude of Bible passages. When the Apostle Paul admonishes that a man should not think of himself more highly than he ought to think, Romans 12, verse 3, he implied a proper level of self-worth. And Jesus taught in Matthew 22, verse 39, that thou shalt love thy neighbors thyself. This is the second great commandment. And the Scripture suggests that love worketh no ill to his neighbor, Romans 13, verse 10. Then would not a consideration of these verses lead to the conclusion that one should place a proper value upon his own life? When Paul exhorts a man to love his wife as his own body, Ephesians 5, verse 28, there is certainly the assumption of a legitimate respect for one's body. And in a world that is increasingly filled with a variety of pressures and stresses and difficulties and trials, sadly, the suicide rate will likely continue. It's at an epidemic proportion now, it seems. Christians need to be prepared to deal in a sympathetic way with those who are driven to the depths of the despair. Thinking about suicide and talking about suicide, it may be that some who have taken their lives really were accidental victims. That perhaps they wanted to draw attention to themselves, they wanted to draw attention to some problem they felt they were dealing with, and thus they put themselves in a position of maybe striking fear into the heart of a loved one, but through an accident, they wind up dying at their own hands. Well, what are some suggestions to keep us from committing suicide? We've already seen that we often become too occupied with self. Take heed, beware of covetousness, our Lord says in Luke 12, for man's life does not consist in the abundance of things which he possesseth. Our life should be Christ-centered and others-centered rather than self-centered. Another suggestion is that we need to remember that life is sacred. Exodus 20, verse 13. This is the message that's given in Thou Shalt Not Kill in Exodus 20, 13, that life is sacred. And another thing, we need to shun extremism. Indeed, we live in a pressure-packed society that drives most of us to the extremes in life. Yet Christians need to practice moderation and self-control. 2 Peter 1, verse 6, Philippians 4, verse 5. And also, we need to abstain from fleshly lusts that war against our souls. And if we abstain from all appearance of evil, we will keep ourselves from situations that could motivate us to despair to the point that we might want to take our lives. Again, we need to talk to God, and we need to allow Him to talk to us. We talk to God through prayer. He talks to us through the Bible. Men and women who have an intimate relationship with Jesus will want to live their life in such a way as to glorify God, to serve Him as long as possible in this life. And as they go through life, they'll be walking by faith and not by sight. And if we walk in the light as He is in the light, that is Christ, the blood of Christ will cleanse us from all unrighteousness, 1 John 1, verse 7. People who are clean and holy have no reason to want to end their life. And furthermore, realizing that things aren't always as bad as they seem should help us. It's easy to be pessimistic, easy to be despondent, easy to be filled with despair. For that reason, the wise man said, "Keep thy heart with all diligence, for out of it are the issues of life. And as a man, as he thinketh in his heart, so is he." That we guard our hearts, we guard our thoughts, we guard that upon which we meditate. It would help us to see that things aren't always as bad as they are, and that to every cloud there is a silver lining. That God's thoughts and His ways are not our thoughts and our ways. They're so much higher than we can even imagine. And we need to think on the positive things. And we need to seek our help. Not be afraid to let someone know that, yes, I'm just so despondent. I just don't know how I'm going to deal with these difficulties. To have someone to pray with us, to someone to whose shoulder on which we can cry. And we need to realize the consequences of suicide. When all others fail, when others walk out on us, God will still be there. The Bible says, "When my mother and father forsake me, then will Jehovah take me up." Psalms 27:10. Hebrews 13:5. God will in no wise fail us nor forsake us. And like the Apostle Paul, we need to learn to accept our lot in life. "I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content." Philippians 4:11. And someone said, no matter what your lot in life is, build something on that lot. Another suggestion, we need to learn to live one day at a time. To live in the present. Jesus said, "Do not be anxious for the morrow shall be..." Take no thought for the morrow. Matthew 6:34. Well, how many are committing slow suicide? That's another thought. How many are going to their graves before their time because they fail to follow some of the Bible suggestions offered in this lesson? Many are committing spiritual suicide. Each day that they continue to pile sins upon sins, and sooner or later, they will be called before the judgment bar of God to give an account of the deeds done in the body, even the secret things. 2 Corinthians 5:10. Remember, it is the whole duty of man to fear God and keep His commandments, for God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing. Ecclesiastes 12:14.